So we left off the previous shura, discussing a situation where a person makes a statement in Beis Din that we are going to accept, and then they begin to backpedal from that statement. And a few days later, and they give us an explanation as to why they're backpedaling from that statement. So we saw this both in the realm of Issa v'Hetter as well as in the realm of Dini Mamonos. In the realm of Issa v'Hetter was a sugya of Maseches Ksubos in the second parak, where a woman walks into town and she announced that she's an Eishes Ish. She announced she's an Eishes Ish. We have to treat her as such. Do we really believe that she's an Eishes Ish? Not really, but we have no choice. Shabi anav shechidich adisura. So she's treating herself. She's expressing her statement that she's an Eishes Ish. We have no choice. We have to be knowing that she's an Eishes Ish as well. Then a week later, she gives us an explanation why she said such a thing. She said she's an Eishes Ish because she didn't want to be pestered with inappropriate shiduchim. The Gemara says that's called an amasla, and once she can produce an amasla, that's believable to Beis Din, that she becomes muteris. So that idea of making a statement of Beis Din, being held to your word, and then changing it later, we find in Dini Mamonos as well. We find it actually in a few places in Dini Mamonos, the two Gemaras, Maseches Sanhedrin, where I pest you and I start to say, hey, you owe me $1,000. And you say, yeah, oh yeah, sure, I owe you $1,000. Now, and you say it in front of Edim, Atem Edad, my witnesses, you literally made that, Glenn Shalin. And once you admit that you owe me $1,000, that's called Ozdos Babin Kibay. But what if you admitted it, and we accepted your statement, but now, an hour later, you explain why you said it. You said it because you were just kidding, just joking, trying to get the guy off your back, trying to get away from this guy. You were busy, I had to go Daf Minchi, you want to bother him right now. But you said it in this flipping statement, $100. The Gemara says, if you can explain away the shabbi bach, why you were just kidding, if it makes sense to Beis Din, then Beis Din will accept your attraction. Or similarly, if a person makes a statement that he owes money to Plony of Plony, and then Plony of Plony comes to collect the money, and he says, no, I was chatting, you know, that. I was just saying that because I don't want people to think that I have a lot of cash floating around. So also, once again, if the Beis Din is convinced that what he's saying sounds like it's true, so then they will let him retract his statement. So we find three different areas of halacha, three different examples in halacha, where we find such a retraction taking place. So comes the Maharasha lady, mentioned on Wednesday, Shlomo Kavin, who says that this is true across the board. Any and every case, if you make a statement that's binding, and then you can explain away in a believable enough manner why you said what you said, so then we will let you retract from your statement. And the Ketzos disagreed. The Ketzos said it's not true. So said, but is it a head that we have such a principle? But Din and Mamonos, there's no such principle. Once you give Aldoz Baldin, the game is over. The Gemara says explicitly, you can back out. To say I was kidding, I didn't want you to think I had a lot of money, etc. Ketzos says, don't bring any proofs from those two cases. Those two cases are different. And what's different about those two cases? Those are retractions that everybody, this is the way everybody talks. This is a Yadua B'Fikola Olam. Everybody talks that way, that leave me alone, don't be in it. But if you want to give a personalized Amaslas don't work in Dini Mamonos. And the question is, why not? What's the difference? So if you want to take the approach that no Amaslas work, you can never back out Dini Mamonos, once you put your foot in your mouth, you're over, done history, you have to pay the money. That I can understand. You want to tell me, like of Shlomo El Kavitz, that every amasta that's accepted, that's believable to Beis Din works, I understand that also. I understand extreme positions. What I don't understand is the middle ground. I don't understand when life's a chaunt. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. The rabbi, does the amasta works? Maybe. It depends. Sometimes, yes, sometimes. What do those words mean? Why should some amastas work? By Gideon Mavis and others not. So, there are several approaches to this Ketosis seemingly arbitrary distinction, and both of them really touch upon some basic Yesodos in terms of Chodos Baldin, what it does and what it doesn't do in the realm of Dini Mamonos. So we left off on Wednesday with a big question. This whole principle of Chodos Baldin, Kimei Yom, it's a very startling principle, because at the end of the day, the Torah says you need two witnesses to establish truth. Two witnesses have to say the loan took place, the window was broken, the act scored, etc. And all of a sudden, Eyes of Baldin can take the place of two witnesses. How does it happen? How does that magic potion work? What makes the Kibay? So we mentioned on Wednesday that the Mahri ibn Leib was of the opinion, or the earlier Achram was of the opinion, that when I make a statement of Beis Din, I broke your window, I borrowed $1,000, I owe you $500, I'm not believed. Beis Din laughs at me and says, you're a Baal Dover, you're an Eidech, it's a big farce. Nobody believes what you're saying, but what? You want to give a gift of $500 to somebody? You want to obligate yourself, Yesh B'ayin, you want to give a gift because of the hate? And we enforce that gift. If you are mechayev yourself, you're meshabed yourself for somebody else, you become bound to give that X amount of money. That's all our dos about it is. And the Ketel said he didn't think so. Ketel said, right, Akasha, but Ketel didn't think that was correct. So let's focus on the Ketel because he's the one we're trying to understand the message. Ketel had a phenomenal family. He had tremendous brothers, not only himself, he had a whole slew of tremendous Chachamim brothers. And then he had children, descendants, and nephews, and great nephews. So one of the people from the Ketel's family, this is many, three generations later, it was a grandson-in-law of his brothers, like a great-great-nephew or something of Ketel's, wrote a sefer. He wrote actually a sefer on the Truma Sakri. Truma Sakri was the brother of the Ketel's. He wrote a phenomenal sefer, and then his grandson-in-law wrote horrors, we're somewhere around the year 1900, give or take, in Europe. The Ketel's wrote in the end of the 1700s, early 1800s. So you're talking two, three generations later already. So there was a phenomenal insight given by this sefer. We call him the Magia. He's not the Tagos, but the like, little notes at the bottom of the sefer called the Magia. Phenomenal chiddush, phenomenal insight of this Magia. Magia says, you know, my old great-great uncle, the Balak Ketel's, went to town and said that Hodos Baldin Kimei Edom Dami has nothing to do with just his chayvos, nothing to do with just obligating yourself. The Rabbi Ketel says it's in their manas haTorah, the Torah believes you, it's in their sakosov, Hashem HaKim, it's in their sakosov. Let's backpedal for a second. When the Ketel's attacked the Ma'ariv ben Lehi and said, Hodos Baldin has nothing to do with his chayvos, that's not exactly what he meant. He didn't mean it has nothing to do with his chayvos. What he meant to say was that his chayvus is not enough, is not sufficient. If all Hodos Baldin is just merely his chayvus, it's not going to accomplish enough. There are cases that are not going to fit into that model. What the Ketel's mechadish was, like the pre-brisker, there are two halachos. There are two different things that are playing out in every Hodos Baldin. When you walk into Beis Din and you say, I borrowed $1,000. You walk into Beis Din or say, I broke a window. There are two things that are happening. Number one, we actually believe you. Asher Yomak Yuzeh, there's a Nemaros, it's a Chiddush HaTorah, you're actually Neman. In addition to being Neman, there is also Beis Chayvus. The Ma'ariv ben Lehi is not wrong that there's a Beis Chayvus. Of course there's a Beis Chayvus. But the Ketel's problem, Ma'ariv ben Lehi was, is that Hodos Baldin has to be more than a Beis Chayvus. It's got to be Beis Chayvus plus. My Nafkamina. If Beis Din is already believing me, so what do I need a Beis Chayvus in my back pocket for? She comes to my Gia and explains very simple. This sugi of Amasla, a person is believed to say, I said what I said for the following reason. That's a sugi nuchas nemonus. It's a way, it's a barometer, it's a measuring rod for Beis Din to use. Are you telling the truth now or you're not telling the truth now? An hour ago you said Azoy, and now you're changing your story to Zokta Azoy. Wait a second, maybe we think your second story is a lie. How do we know which is the truth? So Beis Din has to sit, and they have to analyze, and they have to study lying habits, and they have to say, you know what? Taka makes sense. Oh, a week ago, this woman said she's an Eish Ish, so we believed her. Shavin Avshem, that's fine. Could be telling the truth. Then a week later, she's telling us, I'm not really an Eish Ish. And now we're scratching our head and saying, so which of these two statements is believable? So it depends. If she can't explain away why she said the first thing, so then we can say for certain that she's now telling the truth, maybe she was telling the truth a week ago. But if she could explain away logically why she said what she said last week, i.e. she has an amasla, she explains that she was just simply avoiding bad shidduch prospects, so that taka makes sense. So now we put the whole puzzle together, and we realize, you know what? She's probably telling the truth now, and she probably wasn't telling the truth last week. So amasla is a way to gauge nemonus. Says the Magia, what amasla is not, amasla is not a way to change history. Amasla is not a way, imagine I sell you a car, and then a week later, I explain, oh, I didn't really mean to sell the car. And let me explain to you why I didn't mean to sell the car. It's a joke. You might see sell the car. If it was a mekach tov, it was some mamish misunderstanding, there was a a piece of information you want to prove to that was critical. Okay. But when you make a kinyan, unless there's some major glaring toast here, I can't tell you above my to that. I only sold the car because I wanted to avoid Beishiduch. What does that mean? Imagine a woman's going to literally get married and say, the reason I accept the Kiddushin because I wanted to avoid Beishiduch. What does that mean? If you're Machayib yourself, you're Mashabi yourself, you go into a chalos. So we don't care why you went into the chalos, short of if there was an outright toast. It was a Ramish mistake. So then Mekech toast is in binding. So comes the Magi and he says that a Masla is very nice. That's beautiful. It's wonderful. A masla undermines nemonis. A masla attacks in nemonis. The problem is that even though the Ketzos was of the opinion that Hodos Baldin is nemonis, he didn't mean nemonis in contrast to his chayvus. He meant nemonis in addition to his chayvus. So asks the Magia, how in the world is a masla going to work? You will mechayv yourself. You will mishabit yourself. What kind of masla? That's ridiculous. You're going to come and tell us a story a week later. Oh, I have not. There's a reason why I said I owe you $500. But if you said it, so not that we believed you. You were b'chayv yourself. You were b'shabit yourself. So you sold the car. You sold yourself. You sold your chayvus. You were b'shabit yourself to this person $500. All your masses in the world are not going to work. So that's the beer. That's the understanding of the terms. And now the problem is, what is some masses doing? How come the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, when I could explain away m'shat nibach, I was just kidding. I can explain away. I said it because I didn't want to look rich. Those amasas were accepted before kol olam. So how does that work? It's like overkill. If you really believe amasas don't work in hilchos chayuses, how do great amasas, grand just amasas work?
But there was
no chayus. Oh, okay. Hold on. So it comes to Magi and it says as follows: the answer to this question lies in the Gemara in the second parak of Maseches Kedushin. Right up, Memtes in Kedushin tells the following story. Reuven sold his house, his field, all his property to Shimon. Very nice. Sold to Shimon. There was no conditions attached. Nothing was spelled out. Not a d'shtar, nor about pan for the Beit Din. Reuven sold his house. A week later, Reuven comes to Beit Din. He says, I want to renege on the deal. You know why? I sold my house because I was planning on moving to Eretz Yisrael. That's what it says. How God, the boy, the Mesech, Eretz Yisrael. I want to go to Eretz Yisrael. I need the cash. I mean, I don't need my house in Chutz Lartz. So I was planning on Eretz Yisrael. I sold my house, sold my field. And now all of a sudden my plans fell through. So I'd like to please get my house back. I want to renege on my deal. I'd like to get my house back. So the Gemara says, that's ridiculous. The Gemara says, that's what's called Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. If he would have said at the time, I'm selling you the house on the condition that I make it to Eretz Yisrael, that would have been a kinyan al hatanai. That would have been dependent upon if the tanai is fulfilled. If he makes it, then the sale is good. And for whatever reason, the plans fall through, then the sale becomes negated. He didn't say it. He didn't write it. He didn't do nothing. It was but his heart. So we say, we believe you 100%. You're an honest guy. We believe those were your plans. That is what we call in halacha true but irrelevant. Devarim shebelev, einam devarim. However, there's an exception to the rule of devarim shebelev, einam devarim. That's what the Gemara Bava Basra speaks about. What's called Dvarim Shebalibo Uvalev Kol Adam. What if Reuben enters into an agreement with Shimon and didn't specify exactly every single detail, but it is so obvious, it is so clear from the context that it's Kilo Hasi Partum, as if you would have said it out. It was so posh, you didn't have to say it out. The Gemara gives an example of everybody knows that Reuben doesn't have any children. So all of a sudden, Reuben is told the end of his life. All of a sudden, you know, he comes to us and he says, he makes a kinyan, he sells all his property to Shimon. Everyone knows, there's no children. Money's going to go, he's going to go to the state. I don't know if money's going to go. So he's going to give it as a gift. He has no yorish that he knows of. And then all of a sudden, we find out an hour later, he didn't even know. He had a wife in Medina Sayam. All of a sudden, she gets a telegram that she had a baby. And my mama, she didn't know. Well, so the Gemara says, is the sale bottle or not? The Gemara says, yeah, the sale is bottle. You know why? I'm a sugar. If a guy in a million years, a guy would have known that he has a kid, he never would have given all away his money to everybody. He didn't know. So the Gemara says, he didn't spell it out. He didn't specify. What is the difference between the fellow going to Eretz Yisrael selling land and the person thinking you're going to have a kid selling land? So the answer is very, very simple. In the case of Eretz Yisrael, people sometimes sell their land not because they're going to Aliyah. It's not a crazy thing to sell a piece of land. You need some money, so you sell the land. So to say that I sold the land because I went and go to Eretz Israel, that's a Tvam Shubalev Einam Dvar. But what was Shulman gives away every last penny of his property, if he thinks that he has a kid to be Yoresh, that's Dvam Shubalev Ovalev Kol Adam. The Gemara says we have a Dvam Shubalev Ovalev Kol Adam, but the Halacha does take that into consideration. We do go and penetrate into your inner thoughts, and we say, yeah, that does mean something. Comes the Magi and says, when a person gives it a masla, in Dini Mamnus, I said that I owe you $1,000, and now I want to retract. So comes the Magi and says, from the Nemanus angle of this of that declaration, you can retract, as long as Beis Din believes you. No different than the woman who says, I'm an Ishish, and then she explains why she said what she said. So in Hilchos Nemanus, so for sure, the person has the ability to retract. But it's Hilchos Hischaivus that the fellow's in a pickle. Because in Hilchos Hischaivus, that's like selling something. I'm mishabed myself. I'm selling my obligation. My heart and soul is now obligated to you. Wait a second. I can't give it a masla on that. A masla doesn't undermine his chayvus unless it does as follows. If a masla is not absolute, it's not something that everybody says. It's a personalized, tailor-made masla. That's the dvarim shuklei v'edim dvarim. And that is not going to impact on your statement and your status. But if it's a universal masla, then says the Magi, it enters into the category of halacha called Dvarim Shebaliba V'Lev Kol Adam. As Dvarim Shebaliba V'Lev Kol Adam, it can do anything. It can undermine anything. It can even knock out its chayvus in a shiva the same way it can knock out a mechira or matana. So says the Magi, three generations later, to save the balatzais, that's the reason why it tells differentiated between different kinds of amaslas, because when you're talking the language of Nemanus, so then amasla, all amaslas work. If you're talking the language of Ischaibus, which the Chiddush of the Magia is, the Ktos is also talking that language. Even though the Ktos negated the Barim Lev, he never meant to totally negate him. He meant to add to him, not to deny him as well. Once you're in the realm of Ischaibus, then we can differentiate between an amasla that's Yadu L'chol HaOlam, that's Dvarim Shebaliv Lev Kol Adam. In contrast to a personalized, tailor-made masla, that's not going to work. That's the Vamshu Levi Eidelbo. That's the Yisrael Adavar. I count for the Ketosis family. Because maybe...
That also explains why it's blanket always works by...
Yisrael. Right, very excellent. Right. Yisrael, there's those chayvus. I'm a chayv to become married. It doesn't mean anything, right? So Yisrael, 100%. She's 100% right. Isn't that to only talk the language of their mother? So therefore, whatever Beis Din thinks sounds good, sounds believable, sounds legit, that's going to work. That's 100%. But perhaps we can go down a little bit of a different line. Perhaps we could suggest another beer. When after the family with Tyson, maybe some of you are. I'm Tyson's family, they were all Kohanim, so I'm by definition maybe through a mother, but otherwise not. Perhaps we could suggest a different approach to understand why some masters work and other masters don't. And why, strangely enough, the Nemamunus may actually be harder to convince the Beis Din than the Nisbet. Let's ask ourselves for a moment, what's the rationale of the masla? Person makes a statement, the woman makes a statement, and then a week later she explains why she said what she said. Can we say with absolute 100% certainty that now she's telling the truth and before she wasn't telling the truth? It's hard to say anything with certainty in this world. What did a masla mean? A masla doesn't mean we've convinced the Beis Din beyond the absolute shadow of a doubt. What it means is she's most probably telling the truth. And in just about all areas of halacha, that's all you have to meet. Those are the criteria you have to meet is most probably. We spoke about this many, many times. It's dim the Torah called Rove. You follow Rove. Rove means multiple things. Rove means that I have 10 stores and 9 of them are on kosher, 1 on trade. I find a piece of meat on the floor. When I turn for sure, I can eat that piece of meat because I can follow Rove. Rove means even though there's no stores and there's nothing in front of me and I can't do it, but I have some statistics that I've studied and that led me to the conclusion that the majority is such and such. Let's say, for example, I'm permitted to shecht an animal, eat the animal. I don't have to take apart its head and its stomach and its I don't have to take apart all treifus because the odds are Rove behemos ate them treifus. Lungs may have to be a little bit more careful about because the rope is not as clear there. But most of the time, I can go and have a cup of milk, even though there is a chance that that milk came from a cow with a hole in its stomach. It's possible. And then that milk would actually be trafe. If I do that for a fact, I do not have to go walk around and giving ultrasounds to cows and, you know, studying insides of cows before I drink the milk. I can rely on the principle of rope. So we live our lives based on rope. However, comes the Gemara in the Chacham and the Menashe and says, literally the buck stops here. Rove works when? Rove works by Issa v'Heter. Rove does not work by Dinei Mamonos. Dinei Mamonos, everything is different. Why is Dinei Mamonos different? According to most, Hamotzi v'Chavel v'Raya. The rules that govern Dinei Mamonos are different. Ein Holchin b'Mamon Acha HaRove. We don't use Rove to determine what the truth is. To determine the truth of Dinei Mamonos, you require certainty, and certainty can only be accomplished by a Pishnai of Eidim Yechum Dovah. So it's a strange thing. If I were to ask you, which area of halacha is more chomer? Establishing whether the woman is an Eshes Ish, or establishing whether I owe you $10? I would have thought Eshes Ish is much more important. It's true, Eshes Ish is more chomer, but in this particular prod of halacha, this particular halacha, it's actually harder to prove cases in the Dinei Mamonos than it is in the Heter. Because in the moment you have that factor that you just can't ignore called muhsak. Because I'm the owner of the property. Proof. I'm also going to buy. You want to get my money away? I'll pitch that I made to be up from the over. So no.
It's almost more, it's like a more simple approach to Isra Hetra. In other words, the Torah built in the nemanis into the person on Isra Hetra because the world couldn't exist without that. So, you know, in the essence of just like Kadosh built the world on Rove, because the world couldn't exist without the principle Rove. Isra Heter is based on Rove. Everything else is based on the Metzius that is changeable. There's no basis. It's more of a it's more of a simplistic Svara, because otherwise it wouldn't.
It could be. I mean, the Ma'aseh of the Gemara does connect the fact that Enoch and Moach Rove to the principle of Tzuchel Varaya. The Gemara of Kama makes that equation. So, you know, whether you say it a little bit, I'm saying it a little bit twisted. You're saying at the end of the day, Mamonos is different from Yitzhak. That's for sure. So, our purposes, that suffices. Maybe that's the rationale, possibly. So, perhaps what I could suggest as follows. The whole idea of invoking an Amasla in Yitzhak Heter is understandable because Amasla is an 85% chance that's probably true. That's what you need. All I need is an 85% chance to say this woman is Mutaris and that she can marry whoever she wants. In Mamonos, that's not enough. And a Masla can be believable. It's probably right, but it's not certainly right. And therefore, once you've established that you owe the person the money, so once there's a chiyuv to go ahead and to invoke in a Masla to change that din and din in Mamonos, that's already much, much more difficult. And therefore, we could plug in a rule called Ein Hochem Mamon Acharov. If that's the case, so then why do some Amaslas work? Why do even the Ketos has to agree that you reach a certain point where Amaslas have to work? So this is a throwback to something that we spoke about already much, much earlier in the year, that there's an absolute ironclad rule called Ein Hochem Mamon Acharov. Not exactly. Ein Hochem Mamon Acharov has some exceptions to that rule. What are examples of exceptions to the rule? So some of you were with us back at the very beginning of the year, we spoke about Chazocha Ein Odom Pareya V'Tok Zmanim. What would that be in the following case? I say to you, you know, hey, you owe me $1,000. And if you would respond that you paid back the $1,000, so you would be believed. Unless I have a shot, I have a document and the game's over. But if it's just my word against your word, I say, I lent you $1,000. And you say, parati. So then you're not one. Again, I mean, I told you don't even have to take a shroom with your money. You do take a shroom. But again, the basic response is parati. It's my word against your word. But what if the loan is not even due yet? The loan is due June 1st. And I come to you on May 15th and I say, you owe me $1,000. You say, oh, me? I paid this loan back already 2 weeks ago. Really? You paid the loan back. The loan wasn't even due. That's strange. That's bizarre. So the Gemara says, Ein Adam Peretos Mano, Halavai Shiyifra Adam Besos Mano. The Gemara says, Halavai, you should pay back on time. He said, no, who runs to go pay back a loan? I always say, why is it that the April 15th at 11:59, that's the big rush to go pay taxes. What happened the 3 months before? Nobody wants to pay before. No one wants to give them money, so they have to give them money. So that's what the Gemara says, that based on that svara, I can actually go ahead and collect the chov. I can go ahead and I'm entitled to get my money based on the fact that Beis Din is pretty convinced in other pareptos manu. They said, well, you're pretty convinced that in other pareptos manu. Are they totally convinced? Nobody ever pays back loans on time. Every once in a while, a guy's going on vacation. That's going to be bothered a month from now. Who pays taxes early? So nobody pays on before time. Some people do. So what does it going to be? It's a rove Rove is going to work lahotzi mamon. We're going to use Rove in the Yibamonis. That's against what we just said. So the Acharonim explained, the Chayodim has this idea, and others have this idea, that this is a little bit different. This is not just a Rove. This is almost like a Teva Shel Ha'olam. Chazok Eidan and Pereya is like a statement of human nature. It's not a Rove. A Rove is, we don't really know what the facts are. We're doing a study. We stand out a couple of surveys. We're getting statistics. And we came up with the following. There's a 72.5% chance that the following facts are right. For other areas of Torah, that's okay. You can be mat the ishizish based on that. You can be mat the traitors based on that. That's called the charab lahatish. That we have a right to do. However, the Yimavonis, that doesn't fly. But when you've created what's called the chazaka, chazaka is not really a robe. Chazaka, I don't mean chesabat. I mean, here it means a chazaka, a statement almost of innate, it's human nature. This is what people do and don't do. That, as the Chayodim says, is not a robe anymore. That is vados. That is certainty. Again, nothing in the world is certain. Tiffany Koyabuna, you know, a certain turns a little bit of a lady says sophic. But sometimes we reach the point where we can say with full confidence, this is a true statement. I know this. This is a fact. This is true. Is there an infinitesimal percentage that maybe it's not? It's possible. But for all practical, this is a true statement. So you're going to tell me there's a 1 in a billion chance. Otherwise, that's I can still say with certainty. I could probably say with certainty, I'm not going to win the lottery today. I could say that first line of my tickets. That's number one. But even if it's like, bought a ticket, you could say, I'm not going to win the lottery. You got to be in it to win it. It's true. Yeah, you know, there is that. But Lamaisa, if you're sitting around all day, maybe I'm going to win, maybe I'm going to win. So, you're not just not following the road. You're not following the chazokas. You're not going to win a lot. So to over here, that if I'm wrong, I'd be happy to be proven. That's certain to be proven wrong. So the bottom line is that maybe that's what's going on over here. A regular plain and simple amasla, just a woman to say that this is why I said I'm nechizish, because I have shirch prospects I want to avoid. I mean, it's believable. She's probably telling the truth. We're probably okay with that. So we're going to let her go when it comes to Isabetta. But to use a probably in the Nimamanis, probably the Nimamanis doesn't work. But a certainty in the Nimamanis, Chazoka, that does work. The two statements, the two quote unquote maslows that the Gemara said, we'll talk about, the Tos agree to, that a person says, Bishat the Nibach, that is not just a robe. That is certainty. Person says, listen, I owe $2,000 for that. I don't want people to think I'm rich. That's a statement of certainty. That's human nature at work. That's just a personalized, tailor-made amasla. And amasla tziyadua b'fikol ha'olam that everybody accepts, that already takes on the status of a chazok. That's like a bados. That's like a bori. And therefore, that works even in the demands. So, abochi yivchar, whichever view you want to go down. You want to go down the magias shot in the tzos. You want to go down an altar shot in the tzos. The bottom line is the tzos is telling us this idea that not all amaslas are created equal. And it's the head. As long as it passes Beis test, it wins. And the moment is passing Beis test, is not enough. It's got to be the high level of master of Yadub Afi Kol Olam. Whether that's a function of creating a Dvarim should believe a Lev Kol Adam to offset his Chayvus, or whether it's to create such a high level role that it enters into the Rav of Chazaka and works in the moment is either one is to be potentially or acceptable B'das Ektos. But the bottom line is, Agamam of Abbasin did give the introduction to us of potentially following the Maslas. But so next, we have to go back to Agamar and see. Even though we're following, accepting the maslas, yesh gvul b'dov. But there may be certain things that are going to play out that are going to prevent us from plugging in a masla, even according to everybody. But so next, we will try to see how this goes back to the mumblers, then eventually it makes a full circle back.
Good Shabbos, everybody.
Shabbos.